Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Welcome back. It is another episode of NASCAR Coast to Coast on the Motor Racing Network. This week, it's on the road. We've got two different locations for you here on this week's episode. Of course, my name is Chris Wilner, MRN Pit Reporter, live from Sebring International Raceway, the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring going on. So I've got some work commitments. So I'm down here in sunny Florida. Opposite end of the spectrum, Kyle Ricci, MRN announcer, back up in Connecticut, where it looks to be a little colder than the nice and sunny 80 degrees that it is here in Sebring. Okay, Rick, how are you doing this week?
I am well. I was just thinking this. We are always in two different places. You're just in a different place than usual.
That is true. I'm typically used to the comfy confines of our Motor Racing Network studios in Concord, North Carolina. But on the road this week, once a year, this always happens that a Wednesday always falls when I'm in Sebring. So happy to be here, though. It's exciting. Of course, we actually have a couple NASCAR Roots racers taking part in the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring weekend. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But hey, Rick, you got back from the West Coast Phoenix Raceway this past weekend. How was your trip to the desert? I know it's a long one, but some good racing out there as well.
We had a little bit of everything, including, well, the one thing that I think we didn't have that everybody else had was the time change. Arizona doesn't do that. But other than that, we had, an 82-degree day on Sunday, a windy 70-something degree day on Saturday, and then we got rained on Friday night at the end of the ARCA race. So saw a little bit of everything. We landed in the middle of a torrential downpour on Thursday. So fortunately, that all cleared out in time for race time. But yeah, a great race weekend at the Phoenix Mile, a sold out crowd on Sunday, and three great races, to top it all.
It was a great weekend for sure. We'll get to that here in a second. Of course, ARCA West Series opening up their season. We got a special guest on the show this week, Isabella Robusto, one of the Toyota TRD development drivers, made her ARCA platform debut and had a solid top 10 finish to boot there over the weekends. We'll talk about her season and, of course, her opportunities in ARCA. Of course, a lot of short track aces are inking their names to the next level. Two more made the announcements this week. We'll talk about that, plus K-Rick's driver of the week. But Kyle, let's start out in Phoenix where you were Friday night, rain shortened event for the ARCA West opener. Unfortunately, didn't go to the end because I think we would have had a really great race, but there was a lot of action going on in the early part of the race, but William Sawalich avenged that last spring disappointment with the win. What'd you think of his performance?
Oh, he was the car to beat for the most of the day. Practice, qualifying, started on the pole, led a majority, if not all of the laps. 115 of the 150 were actually completed. He had his hands full, though. Young Gio Ruggiero making his ARCA Menard Series platform debut as well. Hung there right with him for much of the event. Opened a lot of eyes, I think. Many people had never heard the name Gio Ruggiero unless they watch this show every week. And in the last year and a half, I mean, he's just really come onto the scene in a big way. From up here in my neck of the woods at the Seekonk Speedway, running Bandoleros and Legend cars just a handful of years ago. And now here he is at Phoenix running second. So those two cars, no doubt, class of the field all night. Distant third, Grant Infinger, former series champion, obviously a national series competitor in the Craftsman Truck Series. It was nice to have him in the field. So overall, great race, couple of early incidents that we usually see. But when you have 40 cars start the event, you're going to have that. But one of the better ARCA races I've seen at Phoenix.
A lot cleaner, especially than last year's caution-filled affair, that's for sure. But, you know, speaking of Gio Ruggiero as well, he's going to contend William Sawalich for the East title this year. So this won't be the last time these two are going to go head-to-head. So I'm going to be excited to follow that battle and kind of rivalry almost that started to develop out in Phoenix for the rest of the year when the East Series gets going in a couple of weeks. Connor Mosack and West champ from last year, Sean Hingarani, rounded out the top five. Of course, Isabella Robusto, we talked about our guest this week, solid sixth place finish. I think she was coming, Kyle. Maybe if that race would have stayed green, I don't know, maybe a solid top five, top three finish for her.
Then we'll talk to her here in a little bit, but she struggled on restarts. And, you know, she would battle her way from fifth to fourth to third, and then the caution would come out. And she would immediately go from third to sixth and have to start all over again. I don't know if she was in the wrong lane or if she just, you know, was still getting used to restarting those heavy stock cars at a place like Phoenix, where as soon as you cross the start-finish line, you take a hard left of the infield and you're all but in the campground. But, you know, it's a completely different facility that she'll probably ever race on, but we'll catch up with her and talk to her about that. But yeah, she had a great car driving from Venturini, was definitely in the mix and the kind of that second group all day.
So a couple of races for the ARCA Menards series. Of course, the ARCA West opener here to kick off 2024. They've got a little bit of a break. Next up, ARCA Menards series at Talladega. Boy, a complete wild card race out there in Alabama, the General Tire 300 on April 20th. Of course, that'll be here on MRN. To wrap up Phoenix, K. Rick, another ARCA and late model veteran, NASCAR regional competitor, Chandler Smith, took one for the team and brought home the checkered flag in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Wild race, because he was battling with his teammate, John Hunter Nemechek, maybe a little too hard there in turn. John Hunter, who was probably the dominant car all weekend around their midway point to that race. What was your thought about Chandler picking up the win?
Yeah, again, great car. You know, the Gibbs cars are always strong when it comes to running at Phoenix. Unfortunately, he did make contact with John Hunter. Unfortunately, he was at the front of the field and triggered one of the bigger wrecks I've seen at the Phoenix Raceway on the backstretch. You know, a very narrow straightaway, not a lot of room to escape when a car gets in trouble at the front of the field. And there were, I think, 13 damaged race cars when all was said and done. But Chandler Smith at the front, and of course, he held off last year's ARCA champion, Jesse Love, at the finish. So again, we're seeing the progression of these drivers through the short track ranks, the cars tours, and the late model series across the country, into ARCA, and then, you know, eventually into truck and Xfinity. And a majority of the fields in Saturday's Xfinity Series race, at least toward the front, came from those platforms.
Yeah, and the opportunity's knocking for Jesse Love to kick down the door of getting his first National Series win. And I have a feeling it's going to come sooner rather than later, the way that two cars been performing in the Xfinity Series. All right, moving down to our NASCAR Regional Series from the weekend. Carson Lofton, 15 years of age, goes out and wins the opener for the Smart Tour. Says, all right, I'm going to go ahead and back it up and hold off one of the best in Ryan Newman, and does it with ease. What a race out there at Caraway's Warrior 100 over the weekend. Of course, back-to-backs for season openers in terms of Carson Lofton and getting the season started. But to be 15 years of age, Kyle, and to do what he's been doing, I mean, that is absolutely impressive.
Not only did he hold off Ryan Newman, he held off Bobby Labonte, he held off Jimmy Blewett, and he held off Danny Bone. That was the top five, and some of the best in modified racing from both up here in the Northeast when you factor in Bone and Blewett, and then down south with Labonte and Newman, and obviously everything that they have done in their career before Mr. Lofton was even alive. So, yeah, congratulations to Carson. Two in a row. They definitely have their mojo right now. I figured we'd see Matt Hirschman up there, but we did not. Another great field of cars. I think there were 26 cars took the green flag. So that series seems to have sprung back in a big way here over the last couple of years. And they have a huge big money race coming up in about a week and a half's time at South Boston. And that's going to be a massive field as well, because there's already a few Northeasterners that have announced that they're going down there, like Doug Coby, who's going to be with Tom Baldwin, and Woody Pitcat, who has so many accolades up here in the Northeast. He'll be heading down south chasing that money as well. So that's just two of the names, and I'm sure we'll see many more announcements between now and next weekend when Race 3 hits the tour for the Smart Tour.
That's right, March 23rd at South Boston, the Pace-O-Matic King of the Modifieds. And yeah, Tommy actually went on social media and said, watching this Carson Lofton kid win all these races, that's got the itch to get the old 7NY out of the garage and go try to steal some money. But then you mentioned money. You got big money Matt Hirschman, and, you know, he wins all the big money races. So it's been a little bit of a quiet start in terms of his side on the Smart Tour of things, not maybe picking up a win yet, but could turn things around for sure when we go to South Boston next week. And Ryan Newman, 10th to 2nd, he sits 2nd in points. So yep. It's going to be a good battle, kind of young versus old, and kind of the new changing of the guard there in terms of modified racing in the Smart Tour. So good stuff over there. And K-Rick, we had a great race to kick off the, I guess it was the end of Speed Weeks for Southern National and the Cars Late Model Stock Tour. They kicked off their season this past weekend, again, at Southern National, and it was 10th series win for Carson Quapel in Junior Motorsports, number 8 car, but great race and some new names and some different faces up near the top 10 as well. So let's dive into that. What'd you think of the race on Sunday because of Mother Nature forcing us to run on Sunday? I kind of like that we ran Sunday. It seemed a little bit more traditional.
Yeah, absolutely. The speed week there at Southern National lasted a day longer than originally planned. Another good race, 30 cars. You know, you can't complain about that. Carson Quapel, I think no surprise there that he was at the front most of the day and picked up his 10th win on the tour. Connor Hall, he's had a heck of a 10 days or so. 3 wins, I think. Finished in the second spot for Nelson Motorsports. Ran well. Brent Cruz, I think we first, you know, he came onto the scene at, I think, Watkins Glen last year was the first time that we really covered him on the Motor Racing Network. And he's continuing to make a name for himself, not just on the road courses, but on these short ovals as well with the Cars Tour. He had another good run and I think gained the most spots during, or led the most laps and then faded to 6. So was at the front of the field and then faded late, just outside of the top 5. So those are just some of the names that caught my eye during the course of that event. And, you know, Cars Tour, I guess, is officially kicked off now for both series.
It has. They'll be back in action, the late model stock side of things, on March 23rd. So next weekend, New River All-American Speedway in Jacksonville, North Carolina. But this win for Carson Quapel, huge, Kyle, because he's going to miss a late model stock race, at least one, when he goes and takes part in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, making his debut for Junior Motorsports in Martinsville in April. So he's done it before when he won the championship in 2022. I believe he missed a race, maybe for that Truck Series event. So, I mean, I guess it's not a hampering thing, but if you're going to, you need to obviously rack up the wins, and he's obviously doing the right thing by getting one early.
Yeah, get one early, you know, try to build a cushion, hard to after one event, but he'll have another shot here in a couple of weeks' time, about a week and a half or so. And then maybe another event before that April date in when he's in Martinsville. So, but then he'll be playing catch up. You know, you don't have a lot of races here at the beginning of the year to build that cushion. So it could be fun to watch him, you know, play catch up during the summer months and try to claim another Cars Tour title with that one missed race.
And you talk about all his success. Well, coming into the season, all eyes on his challenger, Brendan Queen, struggled 19th for Butterbean. So obviously it's been a big week for him. We'll get to that in segment 3, but kind of dug himself a little bit of a hole to start the 2024 season. So we'll see if he can make a rebound coming up next week at New River All-American Speedway. All right, we've got our guest of the week, Isabella Robusto, standing by on the flip side of this break. So we'll step aside real quick and come right back to talk to Isabella Robusto, a solid 6th place finish at the start of her ARCA career. It's coming up next here on Coast to Coast on the Motor Racing Network.
For 3 decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit RacingElectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
Welcome back to NASCAR Coast to Coast. Chris Wilmer, Kyle Ripken, and of course our guest of the week, Isabella Robusto, after making her ARCA platform debut. 6th place finish, Isabella, over the weekend out in Phoenix. Let's just talk about the excitement level of, one, getting the chance to run an ARCA car, and two, did you almost surprise yourself with a 6th place finish? I feel like you're pretty much on track to maybe get a top 5, if not top 3, if it wasn't for the rain.
Yeah, I think overall it was a pretty good weekend. When I got out on track, I was kind of shocked of where we were speed-wise right out of the bat. I think that being on the sim and kind of all of the prep work that I had going into the weekend made it pretty easy to get up to speed and learn the car. And it had been a couple years since I'd been in ARCA car, and even then it was only for 30 laps total. So I felt really good about kind of where we fired off, and I think we definitely had a top 3 car at the end of the race if we didn't get cut short from the rain. It was definitely way better on a long run. And we talked yesterday kind of in our debrief meeting and figured out speed-wise we were definitely getting faster at the end of after 30, 40 laps. And we're definitely one of the top one or two cars at the end of the long run. So kind of wish that we didn't get the race shortened from rain, but overall, I think it was a really solid weekend. And I kind of took away what I need to learn for Irwindale in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So I kind of know what my main struggles are, especially with that type of car going into my next race.
You mentioned the sim. How close is it? And what didn't equate to what you had learned on the sim when you were behind the wheel of the race car in person on Friday?
So obviously you can't simulate everything in racing. So there's just way too much. But overall, I think that the main differences are kind of the braking was what I found to be the biggest difference. But visually, I felt like my marks and my line were very similar. And I got pretty good at doing the sim last year when I was out of the car and wasn't able to get into a race car. So I spent a lot of time on the big sim and just learning how to kind of work on the adjustments and the setups with the team on that. I felt like we fired off pretty good. I think we were probably about 85% where we needed to be at the start of practice. And I ended up only getting 10 laps of practice in before we qualified. So I think that made it really helpful for when we got to Phoenix. I already feel really good about where we are for Irwindale and Kansas and the rest of my tracks that I'm going to.
Was there anything that surprised you once you got in race conditions and kind of started to figure out the racecraft element of things that maybe you were like, oh, I didn't realize this, or I need to change the way I do this? Or was it pretty much what you expected once you got out there?
Oh, there were definitely a lot of new things to learn. I think the biggest one was when the green flag dropped. I've never been on a racetrack where you can go 100 feet off the racetrack at the start of
true.
The race. So that was definitely eye-opening. I had Billy Venerini on the radio as my spotter, so that definitely helped. But when he said you're 4 of 6 wide into turn one on the start, I was like, what? Hold on. There's like one car on my outside. I'm very confused right now. So that was definitely kind of eye-opening. I definitely got way better by the end of the night when I realized, oh, I can also go 100 feet off the racetrack. So that definitely made it better. But I think one of the biggest differences was kind of just the aero effect. So actually learning what dirty air means, learning kind of what it means when someone's tight on your right rear when you go into a corner. So obviously I've watched hours and hours of videos of it. I talked to everybody about it, but just kind of experiencing it for the first time was way different than anything you can talk or watch. So that was definitely kind of eye-opening, but I felt like, again, like near the end of the race, it got better, and I started to figure out what dirty air is, how you kind of have to set up passes there versus on short tracks in the late model.
A lot of strong points. You were as high as third, I think, at one point there over one of the green flag runs. Was the weak point the restarts?
Yes.
I felt like that's when you kind of faded just a bit, and then you'd have to dig your way back up through.
Kyle's calling you out.
Yeah, the restarts were definitely my problem. The first two were more I spun the tires, just being in a heavier, high horsepower car than I'm used to. I was a little throttle happy on the first one and a little bit on the second one. But just figuring out how to get through the gears as well. I've never been able to just kind of knock it into gear. I've always had to use a clutch with everything I've raced. So kind of learning the technique of that and not giving up so much time between shifts was a big thing that I felt like I got better at near the end of the race. But I think restarts and getting through the gears is definitely the top thing that I need to work on going into my next races. But felt like once we got green, I was able to kind of get into a rhythm, and I kind of used that first 75, 80 laps before the break just to learn as much as I could. I fell back to ninth there on the start, so had to pass some cars and work my way back up through the field. So I felt like I learned a lot there. And then once I did get into third for those last 35, 40 laps before the break, I felt like I could just kind of get into a rhythm and work on the tools in my car. And even though my car was fine, just learning what a brake balance change does or what kind of, I just started playing around when we kind of got into that spot and knew that the break was coming up and I had a pretty good gap behind and in front of me just to use it for experience more than anything. And then that restart right before the break where I had Grant Enfinger on tight on my outside the entire time was definitely probably the most eye-opening part of the night. When I went into the corner and the car got super free, I was like, oh, that's what people mean when they're tight on your door going in the corner. Okay, cool. And it kind of, I used that to my advantage on a different car later in the race. So it definitely helped. But I would definitely agree that the restarts were the struggle point of the whole weekend.
Well, it's all about the learning process. So you take what you learned there and you apply it to the next one. And that's kind of the evolution of a race car driver. But obviously a great start to your 2024 season. But let's take a step back, because 2023 was a roller coaster that I know you didn't plan for. And kind of your whole career kind of got turned upside down. That big crash earlier in the year sidelined you for a little bit. Just how difficult was last year getting back into the car, behind the wheel, and of course, obviously setting yourself up for this year?
Last year was extremely difficult. In the start of April, I got a really bad concussion, for anyone that doesn't know, and it sidelined me basically all the way until January for Speed Weeks in the Pro. And it was just really hard because of all the unknowns. Concussions are one of the most unknown injuries. Everybody's different. There's not a timeline for it, so you can't really expect anything out of it. We just didn't know. So working through that, it was definitely really difficult both mentally and physically to get through that. And then not knowing at times if I would even be able to get back into a race car, just because it was so difficult to do like everyday things, let alone get into a race car. That wasn't even a thought kind of at the start. So I'm super thankful for all the support that I had, like my family and my friends helped me get through a lot of it. And then everyone at Toyota was a huge help too on the medical side, recovery, kind of figuring out the plan that I needed to have to get back into the car. It involved a ton of sensory stuff, lots of recovery, lots of physical therapy, just to kind of work to get me back healthy enough to where I could get into the race car. And then once we could, I felt like one thing in racing that you can't really simulate is just having that race basically physicalness and getting back into the seat, getting working out in the seat, just going practice after practice, just doing a bunch of long runs just to get my body back used to kind of the G-force and how mentally tough and focused that you have to be in the car. So I felt like in end of December, start of January, when we started to do that, I definitely kind of saw the light at the end of the tunnel and knew I would be able to get back into the car and race. So when Speed Weeks came in February, I felt really good about going down there, and we ran pretty good. I think we had 5 out of 7 nights were in the top 5, so felt pretty good about that. And just more importantly, felt good and healthy making it 9 nights of racing in a row without any symptoms or anything. So 2023 was definitely a struggle in many ways, but I'm super thankful to be back in the car, and it's great to be back racing now for 2024.
Yeah, I was gonna ask.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Ask you about Speed Weeks and how you would kind of summarize it. There was one night where you were battling for the lead. I think you jumped the start, got black flags, went to the back, and before you know it, you were driving your way back up through the field and had a pretty decent finish. That was just one of the nights that I can remember, but it seemed like a pretty successful time down there, both on the racetrack and obviously, physically, everything worked out for you as well back behind the wheel.
Yeah, I think overall Speed Weeks was really good. That was the first time that I actually competed in the full Speed Weeks. Last year, I filled in for Toni Breidinger for one of her races when she was in Daytona. But overall, I felt like it was a pretty good kind of first Speed Weeks. And the one night we had a really good car, I felt really good about it and started second, kind of got tangled with the first place guy down the back stretch and had to go to the back. So, fought back from, I'm pretty sure it was like 24th, 25th, up to the front and finished fourth that night. So felt like overall we did really good. It was just consistent. We had those consistent top fives, which was kind of our goal, just to make sure we were up there and be there by at the end of every race. So felt like overall speed weeks went really well, and both kind of where we finished, but also the mental and physical side as well. It was a good test before the season starts, and that definitely kind of helped me feel more positive about the season, and it's one less thing that I needed to worry about going into Phoenix.
Well, it was also cool that we just celebrated International Women's Day, and obviously you mentioned Toni Breidinger. I know Amber Balkan was in the field. There's plenty of other females that are up and coming, even on the dirt side of things, when you look at Jade Avedisian and the like. So how special is it to be part of this new crop coming through? Because these opportunities are starting to come. You guys are showcasing what you guys can do, and then obviously challenging for wins on a weekly basis. So kind of being this next group on their way through kind of the NASCAR ranks up to the top series. I mean, how special is it to be a part of that now?
It's really special. I'm super thankful that I was just able to kind of run up front and that I'm good enough to compete with the guys. I think that it's really important to show, especially on like the big stage. And I think Phoenix was kind of the first for me being on the national side and being able to be on TV and everything to show people that I'm a girl, but I can also run up front. I'm going to be competing for the wins with all the guys, even in my first race in an ARCA car, I can still be competitive and be up front. So I think that helps show everyone that it's possible that you can run up front, even if you're a girl racing against all the guys.
You've mentioned Irwindale and you've mentioned Kansas. What does the rest of your schedule look like as of now for this season? I know it's probably going to fluctuate.
So it's definitely going to change a bit, but right now I'm doing Cars Tour. So we're trying to do full time. There's two or three races that I'll miss just for other kind of races. And then I've got eight different ARCA races. So we've got Irwindale up next, then we have Sonoma and Portland, so bring in some road courses. Hopefully my road course background will help me there. And then we'll have Kansas, Nashville, and then Kern County as well. So we've got kind of a wide range of ARCA starts that I'll do throughout the year, Cars Tour to kind of keep with my short track stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be the first time I'll run with Lee Polium. So he's a true short track racer. So I'm excited to work with him and have my teammate Butterbean with me for all the Cars Tour stuff. And then I've got a handful of the GT4 races again with Smooge Racing and Toyota and the Supra. So I'll have kind of a wide range of racing again this year just to help build my resume and get me in all different types of cars so I can learn everything I can before I kind of head down one path hopefully next year.
And that kind of led me to my next question. You know, I'm down here in Sebring and some of your fellow competitors on the short track side, including, you know, Connor Zilich and Jesse Love, who's a graduate of kind of the regional stuff, are here racing MX5, just doing anything they can to kind of better their craft. So how important is it? I know TRD does a lot to make sure you guys are in different, you know, disciplines of racing, but how critical is that for your development to do road racing? Is there maybe any dirt plan for you just to kind of get some experience? I mean, would that be something you would want to do, I guess?
So I think it's very important to run in every different thing that you can. I think the bigger resume that you build, it'll be better, especially with Cup kind of doing the road course and oval mix that they have, and ARCA having dirt in it as well. I think it's really important to have a wide range of racecraft and skills. So I think this year and next year, it's going to be really important for me to kind of learn everything that I can. And I do have some dirt races that'll be interesting. I'll get in the dirt car for the first time at Millbridge at the end of the year. So I'll do a couple Millbridge races and that'll be interesting. I'm not quite sure how that will go. I've never really been on dirt. So I'm hoping it's kind of like racing in the rain because I like racing in the rain, but I have a feeling it's going to be completely different. So
just a little bit.
Yeah. Thankfully there's a lot of kind of dirt drivers in the Toyota group, so I can talk with all them, and Chad's great. So I've talked with Chad a couple times to learn everything I can. I still have a little while before I have to kind of figure out the dirt side of things, but I think it's really important to be in a bunch of different racing aspects. It's helps your racecraft. I think anytime you're in a car of any sort, it really doesn't matter. It's going to help you overall.
My final question for you, wants to go back to the start of your career, 13 years ago now, Bandolero, summer shootout at Charlotte Motor Speedway during the summer months. How important is that program, especially now that it's on flow every week, but even back then, how important is that program to young racers developing and trying to figure out if they want to be a driver at that age? And then obviously moving up into late models and everything that the South has to offer with the Cars Tour.
Oh, I think the summer shootout's a great program. I ran it from 8 years old to 14 years old. So I was there every summer, every Tuesday night. That was, I loved that part of summer, kind of going out there, but I think it's really important. I think that for the Bandolero and Legend Cars side, that the summer shootout has the most competition as well. So I think that if you can run up front, run in the top two, three, four, in the summer shootout, that, you know, if you move up, you'll be competitive in whatever you race. And I still will say this, that a Legend car, I think, is one of the hardest cars that I've driven. And I feel like I've got a pretty good wide range of cars that I've driven over the years. And I feel like the Legend car is mostly driver. I think it all comes down to the driver versus the car, where some other cars that you race, the cars are pretty close, so the drivers don't make too big of a difference. But I think the Legend car is, the power to weight ratio is so big, and just how you have to drive those. And I feel like you've got, at least when I ran there, 25 people that could win every single week. So I think the summer shootout's really important. It helped me kind of know, okay, I want to race, like, this is what I want to do. I can be competitive, I can run up front every week. And it's some of my favorite racing memories that I've had so far as well. So I think everything that US Legend Cars is doing is super important. I think they've lowered the age range a little bit too as well, which will help. I know when I came through, we had to kind of get approval to move up early into the Legend car, but I think how they have it set now is a really good program for everybody.
And it just gets bigger each and every year. It's been fun to watch for sure. And
yes,
some of my fondest memories are back at the quarter midget track. So you always remember kind of where you get started. So congratulations on the success of so far 2024, and really proud of you in the way you bounced back from 2023. It's not easy for sure. I mean, ask anybody who's had a concussion. So congratulations on that. And looking forward to chatting with you later this year. I can't wait to see you at Millbridge behind the wheel of a micro. That'll be fun.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Millbridge will be fun. I'm looking forward to that. So
awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. Isabella Robusto, sixth place finish in ARCA West competition this past weekend. We'll see her later on this year. Coming up next, the calendar and Kyle Ricci's Driver of the Week. That's next here on Coast to Coast on the Motor Racing Network.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit RacingElectronics.com today. Be race ready. Be RE equipped.
Brings his Chevy in. Four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Back to NASCAR Coast to Coast here on the Motor Racing Network. Great conversation with Isabella Robusto. Kyle, a lot of opportunities ahead for her. Be curious to see, you know, it's one of those things, you have a solid run on an opening outing in a different series or, you know, something like that, and it really does wonders for your confidence moving forward, right?
It does, especially when she hasn't really been in the race car much over the last year because of that injury we had talked about with her. You know, first time that she's really been on a national platform, national television, national radio, had all the attention in the garage pre and post race with, you know, the one of the legacy teams of the series. So she made best of it. Top five much of the night, finished in the sixth spot. Now we'll see if this can continue into her next event at the Irwindale Speedway here and coming up next for the West Series.
And how cool is that, that her strong run on her debut kind of fell on International Women's Day?
Yeah.
Or almost, I guess, the weekend before, but same thing. So pretty special, pretty cool stuff. Thanks to Isabella for joining us on the show. All right, so news and notes this week. We kind of teased at the top of the show some more NASCAR regional drivers getting signed at the next level for some either one-off or part-time deals. The first to be announced was, we talked about Brendan Butterby Queen having a little bit of a slow start to his late model stock career, but boy, he's going to be wheeling a truck at the place that really put his name on the map, North Wilkesboro Speedway, coming up in May with the Craftsman Truck Series. Butterbean running a Tricon Garage Toyota. And Kyle, I don't think there's going to be a fan in the stand that's not going to be rooting for Butterbean out there in Wilkes County come May.
I just can't wait to see the vlog that goes along with this entire weekend and experience for Brendan, obviously. If you don't know, one of the great personalities of short track racing down south, we've had him on this show plenty of times, a big winner of the Cars Tour last May, I believe, part of All-Star Weekend to kick things off down there at the North Wilkesboro Speedway. So he'll be back in action. And a truck, also part of All-Star Weekend. I'm sure he'll be in the Cars race to kind of adapt and get used to the new pavement that's been laid down there in the last year. So it'll be a big weekend for Brendan Queen, no doubt, as he'll continue his local routes most likely. And then back, then that like you mentioned, that next driver making the big leap up into the national spotlight.
Yeah, and you mentioned the new pavement, too. It's actually timing as we record this show. NASCAR is conducting some testing out there, and actually the Truck Series was on track on Tuesday. And hearing some of the drivers on social media, it's fast. For a 5/8 of a mile oval, I mean, they are absolutely ripping like low 18 seconds. So it'll be interesting to see once we get some of the lower, regional series on the racetrack before we get to All-Star Weekend and the Truck Series back on the racetrack. What kind of speeds they post, what kind of raciness the racetrack has. But so far, one word, it's been fast. So it's going to be fun to watch when those guys and girls get out there later on in a couple of months. You teased the other guy who made news this week, Connor Zilich. We had him on the show last year before making his ARCA platform debut at Watkins Glen, where he nearly won the race for Pinnacle Motorsports. Yep. He's going to run a part-time Xfinity schedule. Not one, but what, three or four Xfinity starts for Junior Motorsports in that 88. They are just rolling out the regional drivers here this year, taking part in that 88 car.
Yeah, and I think that's what Dale Jr. has always wanted to do with at least one of his cars, is to allow the opportunity for some of these short trackers from wherever, whether it be from down south or the Midwest. We saw how Josh Berry, was able to use that program, do so well on the Xfinity Series level. And now he's a full-time Cup guy. And you have guys like Connor Zilich that have, now earned that ride. And we'll see what he can do with it here for, like you mentioned, a handful of events, both on road courses and ovals over the next couple of months.
Yeah, and he's had a huge start to his career. I mean, not to mention the success he's had in the Trans Am Series and road racing and kind of his upbringing. But then this year, kicking off 2024 with a Rolex 24 watch at 17 years old, winning in class in LMP2, signed with Trackhouse at a multi-year development deal. And, of course, this is kind of part of that in teamwork and in the teamwork relationship with Junior Motorsports to get him in an Xfinity car. But he's not, waiting for that opportunity. He's actually here in Sebring right now, going to take part both in the 12-hour race on Saturday, but also running Mazda MX-5 Cup against his best friend, Jesse Love, who's going to take part in that as well this weekend. So the stars are aligning for Connor Zilich, and that's a name that if you don't know it yet, you will hear quickly, if not this weekend, for sure. So I'm sure we're going to have to get him back on the show. But multiple races again, Watkins Glen, Kansas in the fall, Homestead Miami Speedway, and then, of course, Phoenix Championship Weekend. He'll be aboard that 88 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet Camaro. So exciting stuff for Connor. Congratulations to both him and Butterbean Queen on getting calls to the next level. Cool news out there in Phoenix this past weekend, Kyle. Before we get to the calendar, Toni Breidinger giving back a part of International Women's Day and weekend. Her and her twin sister Annie took some young female up-and-coming racers out to the Phoenix go-kart track and not only gave them an opportunity to kind of go head-to-head and learn from two of the up-and-coming racers here in our sport, but also a big chunk of change. $100,000 was donated to the Women's Sports Foundation. Pretty cool.
And this is why she is one of the most followed figures in the sport at such a young age. Not only is she making a name for herself on the racetrack, but also off the racetrack. I believe, 2.1 million followers on Instagram, 166,000 on Facebook, several more thousands on X. She has really, become one of the stars of the sport. And really, we haven't seen her much in the National Series of NASCAR yet. I think she has a couple of Truck Series starts. But other than that, over the last 3 years, she's been in the ARCA Menard Series doing well and you know, creating awareness outside of the racetrack like she did this past weekend at the Phoenix Raceway. I know those young ladies were thrilled to be with Tony at the local go-kart track just outside the Phoenix Raceway, a few miles away. And I believe they were part of some of the festivities at the racetrack as well with her on Friday. She was there much of the weekend. So kudos to Tony. She's doing a great job both on the racetrack and away from the racetrack as well.
100% busy with obviously also as well being involved with Victoria's Secret and her commitments to that. So bouncing around the country, taking part, but cool to see her get back. And yeah, she's got like 2,900 and some thousand followers more than I do. So I'll never catch her. It's fine. Congratulations, Tony, on all your success and pretty cool stuff from the weekend. Okay. Speaking of the weekend that was, how about the weekend that is coming this weekend? Of course, down here in Sebring, I know, Kyle, there's some short track action going on across the country, starting with the 48th annual Hardy's Rattler 250 weekend at South Alabama Speedway. The newly branded UARA National Series was SRL National, kind of went under a rebranding over the offseason. $25,000 to win on Sunday for the super late models. Bubba Pollard, defending winner and two-time champion, is in the field. I haven't seen Ty Majeski enter yet. Could be a late entry. Maybe so, maybe not. But what do you think about this weekend? It's kind of the, you know, we talked about the World Series of Asphalt and kind of that kind of beginning the real season. But as far as Southern super late model racing, this is the big granddaddy to kick off the year.
Yeah, it's a big one. You know, Bubba Pollard has won the race multiple times. The defending winner, Jet Nolan, Hunter Robbins, always a factor down there. Augie Grill, I feel like that name's been around forever, for decades now in Southern super late model racing. So should be a good race. Looking forward to it. The Rattler, always exciting. I think this is the race where they have the snake on the front stretch, right? You have snake in victory lane. I know there are some drivers that we have talked to in the past that wanted nothing to do with that celebration, much like Denny Hamlin when he won the Lobster in New Hampshire years ago. Wanted nothing to do with holding the Lobster, and we see the same down at the Rattler.
A lobster is nothing compared to a snake. Come on, Denny. It's actually delicious, too. I bet she's a fan of lobster in terms of the delicatessen, but not necessarily the live one.
And the claws were all buttoned up. It's not like, you know, they had the big rubber bands around them. It's not like they were going to attack. But, you know, the snake, a little less control.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, as Kyle mentioned, it's going to be a star-studded field. Of course, in the lead up to that, it's a whole three-day show. We do have the pro late model Baby Rattler, the Grasshopper 125 as well. Bubba Pollard's won that one as well, too. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, the entry list continues to grow. Of course, that race, the Big Daddy, the Rattler 250 on Sunday afternoon, $25,000 to win. And then speaking of late models, back in the Motor Racing Network, kind of neck of the woods in North Carolina, Hickory Motor Speedway is hosting the Pro All-Star Series, the past series returning to Hickory for a twin feature, Easter Bunny 150, which is a little bit early for Easter. We're getting close. We'll go ahead and say we're in season for the Easter season, but Easter Bunny 150 this weekend, doubleheader, 20 plus super late models on the entry list, Kyle. Some names that we typically see up in your neck of the woods making their way down to Hickory this weekend.
Like a Derek Griffith, who has found a lot of success in both past north and south, going south this weekend. DJ Shaw, obviously we have followed his father, Dale Shaw, up here in the Northeast for many of decades, was part of the old Busch North, the NASCAR North series. Cole Butcher from the south. So, yeah, a great mix of Northerners and Southerners coming together for the annual trip at the Hickory Motor Speedway. A little earlier, like you mentioned, but that's how the schedule fell this year for the Easter Bunny 150, racing not one but two nights there at the track that makes NASCAR legends. I forget the slogan,
yes.
But love Hickory. It's a great little racetrack, and they're back into their weekly program, and now they're going to host the Pro All-Star Series this weekend.
Yeah, and that track's gone through some upgrades as well. I saw Landon Huffman tweet about the new bathrooms and some of the infrastructure upgrades that Hickory's had over the course of the offseason. So and they've had a good start to their year as well. Still working on the car counts, but I know those will grow as the year continues to move on. All right, K-Rick, before we let everybody go, we've got our driver of the week, our K-Ricky driver of the week. Who do you have your eye, or who did you have your eye on this week that takes the title for this week of March?
I mentioned him earlier in the show. For the first time this year, not a winner, but he finished second. Ooh. Gio Ruggiero Will be my driver of the week. Second at the Phoenix Raceway, just 17 years old from Seekonk, Massachusetts, has done a lot of things in a relatively short period of time. And I expect, those big things will just continue to grow here over the next year or two or however long his career goes. And I anticipate it being a very long and healthy career. Looked great at the Phoenix Raceway. It didn't look like it was his first start in that platform on that size racetrack. Looked very comfortable out there, and it was fun to watch. So he's going to be my driver of the week. We'll give it to one of the New Englanders.
Well deserved. No bias there from K-Rick up there in Connecticut.
Not at all.
Well, no, certainly well deserved, and looking forward to see him tackle the ARCA East season here in 2024. All right, don't forget, MRN is your home this weekend for all things Tough Trucks of NASCAR. The WeatherGuard Truck Race night race at Bristol coming up Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, will be on the air. The Motor Racing Network will have flag-to-flag coverage of that. Looking forward to see the trucks back on the concrete here twice this year, beginning this weekend. So Bristol is back, baby. The concrete is back, and can't wait to see the trucks and see who picks up the checkered flag coming up on Saturday. Kyle, have yourself a great weekend, my friend. Wish you were down here in sports car country with me this weekend, but you got anything excited planned?
I'm going to watch you do the 12 hours. Probably not all 12 hours, though, because no. I will also be, and don't make fun of me, at 90s Con this weekend here in Hartford.
Well, I'm not going to make fun of you because you're going to see a couple of my favorite actors from Boy Meets World, so that's right. Pretty jealous. Make sure you get me an autograph to Chris Wilner.
Okay. You got it.
Anyways, thank you so much, Kyle, and thank you so much, Isabella, for joining us on this week's episode of Coast to Coast. For our producer, Pat Jaggers, my name is Chris Wilner. We'll see you next week where we talk all things NASCAR Regional. Have a good one.